Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Like, I got some good news, Goo.
I mean, bring it on, it. Man.
Carter just jinxed me, but go ahead.
He tends to do that quite often, in fact. We got a success story this summer. Even Luka Doncic can get in shape. If he can do it, you can do it. It's good news.
No, it is. Losing weight's always good, right? If you do it the right way, and it looks like he's done that. But as far as, is he still going to be Luka on the court? That's what I'm worried about. Is he going to still be fat on the court, averaging 30, doing all that? Like, I've never seen a guy get body shamed out of nowhere after this trade, but that's neither here nor there.
You guys are doing it to Devers for about 2 months.
I never said that. That was Steiny and Butch talking about his little belly.
You see
belly.
That play he made at first base last night?
He looked like
a diving play off the bag.
Yeah, he did it.
Swipe and tag in one effort.
Salivating.
Yeah, look at that. I do think of how him and Eldridge will coexist. Like, who's first base? You know, because you got your boy over there right now.
Well,
you
one
got
of
Chapman
them.
On the books.
But again, that's why
DH.
You got some guys that probably aren't going to be on this team next year. But to me, pulling the plug on the season, I'll tell you again.
Who's on first? Yeah.
I know. I'll get to that in a second. No. But I do want to open up the phone lines at 888-957-9570. Giddings in for Steinmetz alongside Guru. Let's go out to San Jose and talk to Chris. Chris, what's up, man? What do you got?
Good morning, gentlemen. Let me hit these points really quick. The Giants' problem is they're misaligned. As you would go to a chiropractor and take an x-ray, the first thing they do is look at your spine.
Yeah.
Not so much the executive personnel, but the Giants are not lined up properly to be successful. Number one, your stadium is built for Triples Alley. Who hits triples on the Giants? You're swinging for home runs. It's a cosmetic stadium, looks really cute, but it's not conducive to the team that you're putting on the field. You got Devers, great hitter, like I said before. They're going to pitch around him because there's no protection behind him. So why would you go get Devers all that money? You don't have someone behind him who is credible. You got to catch up with the Dodgers because we have, what, 4 Hall of Famers for the next 5 to 10 years? And, it's going to be difficult for you guys to catch up to the Dodgers, much less establish your own organization to be conducive to winning. So that's why you're losing. You have guys come up from AAA, you throw them in the starting lineup, and they make base running errors. They can't just fly balls. They're doing things that are like, bad news bear-like. So if we see that, I wouldn't sell the fans on a false lead of, we have a chance to go to the World Series. No, you don't. Don't do that. So knowledge gives us the ability to predict. You guys should be better predictors of the fate of your organization.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the call.
And I'll say this, Chris, I'm no Pat Burrell. I'm no hitting coach. We'll get to him.
Well, maybe
you
could be.
But don't tell me they're pitching around Devers. And I love the guy. Dude, he's getting enough fastballs to eat. He just, sometimes they're getting blown by him. That's just how I've saw Devers in a Giant uniform. He's getting some meatballs.
He's been picking it up since the deadline.
Yes, he has.
But, yeah, he needs to do more just like everybody does.
Yeah, no doubt.
The offense is not producing enough to supplement the fallout from starting their pitchers. Let's go to Trevor, Arona Park, who wants to preach a little bit of patience, been hanging on for some time. Trevor, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man? Trevor, Sideline Bay Area Sports. What's up, Guru?
What's up, baby?
How you doing, man?
Hanging in. Better than the Giants. T, what you got?
Here's my thoughts, okay? Baseball is so much different than every other sport, in my opinion. I played it for a while. It's a sport that I've loved for a long time. I'll say this. It's a long game. And to expect the team to come out, first off, they weren't very good when they came into the season. They picked up some guys along the way. That's good. They are in a rebuild. You don't want to call it that. That's fine. But they are in a rebuild. We got Justin Verlander. he's kind of cooked. He's old. He was old when we got him. And if we're expecting him to be a guy who's going to anchor the pitching staff or somehow bring some wins to the table, fine. I expect him to be better than he was or he is now. But it's not surprising me that he's falling off the map. He's an old guy. And so what we're looking at is a rebuild. And so we got some guys. Are they going to go and sell? No way. That's not what they're about. They're about trying to build a baseball team that can start winning. It's just not going to happen this year. And that's kind of what it was, what I was saying to you guys when I called in a few weeks back and even last year. I thought it was going to take a couple of years. Baseball's so much different than basketball or football, where you go and get a couple of guys and it changes everything.
But
no matter what the Giants do, whoever they pick up, whether it's a pitcher or a bat, guys, this is going to take a couple of years. They've got to catch the Dodgers and other teams that are ahead of the game.
But the cost, Trevor, the cost, man. How could you say it's a rebuild when you're paying Devers, Adames, and Chapman? That's not a rebuild.
Well, it's overpaying. I will give you that. I'll give you that. But they need so many more pieces to this puzzle. The guys that they have on this team are not playoff contending players. They're just not. They're not playoff ready. Some of them are too young. Some of them just don't have the talent. They need to upgrade at some positions, and there's no doubt about that. Are they paying Devers more than I would have liked to see, or would I have even liked to see that move? I don't think I would have made that move. And the reason I wouldn't have made that move is because they're not ready to win now. If they were in win now mode and they needed one or two more pieces, that guy is a great piece to put on your team. If you're a team that's 2 years out and you put him on your team expecting him to elevate the entire team, that's not going to happen. So I don't agree with the fact that they made that move in the first place, to be honest. So, yeah.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate the call, Trevor. I mean, to me, there's a lot of revisionist history around Devers. Mm. Like, when they got him,
oh my God,
the world stopped.
It did.
Because it was the first
that.
first big hitter that they've gotten in quite some time.
Like, yes.
Not, I'm sorry, it may not age well. That deal may not turn out to be what we thought it was. But to say that you wouldn't do the deal that was a bad trade, I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to have you pull receipts from that day.
I love you for that.
There was not one person I knew that was, like, I might have been skeptical about what Devers could be defensively. I know there was a lot of rumors about his, you know, the culture fit from the time in Boston that was eventually debunked. But, like, his productivity as a player has never been in question.
No doubt about it. And, Evan, I'm hugging you from over here with that because the world went crazy, and rightfully so. Let me just do this for Trevor's, you know, for him. If you want to do what you just mentioned, revisionist history, let's just say the season ended today, the Giants didn't get in. If you're Buster, do you second guess that move because it didn't, you know, it wasn't lighter fluid to your lineup like you thought it was going to be? Because I'm not. I'm doing that deal 100 times out of 100.
I think most people are. I think the majority of front offices were.
Like, man, T.
And the reason why Posey was in that seat and Farhan wasn't because he wasn't able to pull off a deal like that. I think 650 hits the nail on the head from the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. It's go time doesn't mean rebuild.
Oh, no doubt. Help us out.
It does. And this is where I want to go next.
Yeah.
A couple nights ago, after the loss on Sunday to the New York Mets, Sunday Night Baseball, Matt Chapman, who hit two home runs that day, was asked about what he thinks the direction of this team is going to be. And really, as somebody that is, you know, as much of a Posey guy as any, what he feels about what his president's going to be doing.
No, I mean, I think that, you know, regardless of how we played, you know, obviously that it sucks to lose 9-11 and, you know, kind of slip out of the, you know, the standings a little bit, but we're still right there, you know, and we play a lot of the teams that are, you know, right in front of us and right in the thick of it with us. So, you know, I think that, you know, Buster's made it clear that, you know, we go out and get Rafi, and, you know, it makes sense to continue to try to improve this team and, you know, for this year and the foreseeable future. So I think we expect to add and to continue to get better and to continue to make a push to make the playoffs.
Rebuilding is not an option.
Yeah, I'm with you. Wow. I heard ads.
If you want a rebuild for the San Francisco Giants, you should not have hired Buster Posey. That's not what he was brought here to do, I believe. And one of the reasons why I think they hired him and fired Farhan Zaidi is because they were sick and tired of the place that, granted, they find themselves now, which is 500, but with no action to show for it, with just this consistent holding pattern of, we'll bring guys in, we'll bring guys out, and we're going to stay about the same.
And Devers will be 40 when this rebuild, when they're ready to go. That's an oxymoron. You wouldn't even brought him in if you didn't think you were further along than a rebuild.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there were multiple ways to go about this. Posey could have stripped this team of a lot of cash and completely tanked and tried to take a Houston Lastros approach, right? Which is,
man,
get the first overall pick 3 straight years and get a bunch of prospects and build from the ground up. I don't think that's the school of baseball that he's a player, man. He's won 3 World Series. Actively trying to lose, I don't believe, is a part of his DNA. He's from the school of Sabian. So, to me, again, when you hired him, when the Giants hired him, it was with the intention of being as competitive as possible while also building the farm system, which ideally should be in his first draft, but we're not going to see that for a few years. He was given what he was given, which is a bunch of holdover players. He went out and got a couple of his own guys, Adamas, Devers, Verlander, and I think he wants to bring more of his own dudes in here. But again, that's the part that's going to take time. To me, having Posey completely reshape this roster or extracting the best out of every single guy, that to me was asking a little too much.
Mm. And here we are, Evan, and I'll say this because Melvin definitely won't say it, but the bottom line is he has to be disappointed. And like we said, we talked about it, the math is still there. The season's not over. But, man, who saw this coming? I don't even think Buster saw it coming. So we'll see what happens by Thursday. But I'm sitting here just telling you, to me, the rat on the table for the Giants this year, brought to you by Echo Pest Control, is you got about 4 or 5 guys that just can't do anything with the stick, Evan. And until you do the Martin Luther King and try to overcome that, I mean, this is what you're going to get. And this has been, do you have a problem with me calling this a nosedive, a swoon that's gone on with the Giants offense?
Yeah, that's fair.
Man.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD World San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live in the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Getting in for Steinmetz with Guru. The thing is, also too, and like Eldridge might be untouchable. Maybe even they feel the same about Wisenhunt. But I'm sorry, Buster Posey is also not married, I believe, to any of the guys in the system that he could use to acquire a talent that can help this team, not just this year. And I'm not talking about going in on this year. Mm. I'm talking about if you don't have anything if you don't have a ton to work with in your farm system, then to me, building through the trade market is also another alternative. It's an option. And I think Buster Posey has already unlocked that door by using a couple of guys that he believed to be at a position of strength and one former first-round pick in Tibbs to get a premium bat.
Yeah.
And while that bat hasn't produced, he's got a 730 OPS, a little bit above average. You have to give Devers the benefit of the doubt that he's going to come out of his nose dive, as you described, along with the rest of the offense.
Yeah, Evan, and tell me if this is the worst analogy ever heard. I feel like you describing Adamas, Devers, and Chapman, and the fact that folled the money, the politics of the money, they're like Steph, Dre, and Jimmy in regard to they need ready-made help. And, you know, they're not all 21 years old or 22 years old. So, I mean, Buster's trying to get – and that's what the Devers trade to me signaled – is I'm going my version of all in right now. And when you looked at where the Giants were and what they built without Ralphie Devers, you thought, oh, man, it's going to be combustible when you add.
Hey, friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The two together, And unfortunately, it has not. And there's not a chemist in the world that could give us an answer as to why offensively this team is not taking it to another level.
Yeah,
that's what hurts.
Look, offensively, they've kind of struggled all year, but it is concerning that they haven't been able to eventually break out of it. Like, winning's contagious. So is losing.
Man, oh man.
And they are infected right now with the losing bug, and that's what's been frustrating about it. All right, this is from the 510, the Boxer Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, from Leroy. You know, God. I love you guys, but you got to stop saying everybody would have made the play for Devers. I was not one of them. I felt like we needed a left-handed pitcher. Before we got Devers, the Giants were one of the hottest teams in the league. I didn't see anything wrong with the lineup. I hear that. And again, I'm not saying everybody, but to me, the consensus from everyone around the baseball industry is that was a fleece,
yes,
by the San Francisco Giants.
The price.
And I can't figure out why they've gotten worse. To me, it's because their pitching has taken a bit of a dive, and Devers hasn't impacted the lineup enough. But I really, like, that's going to be the million-dollar question of the season, is how do you acquire a two-time Silver Slugger and a three-time All-Star and a World Series champion, and you get worse?
You get picked off a third when you're playing the lowly White Sox and you're trying to tie or take the lead in a ball game.
Can't do it.
You bunt against the Dodgers, the team that you're chasing that's leading your division right before the All-Star break, and you just don't play fundamentally sound baseball, Evan. And that's how you get here. But I'm with you. So let me ask you this, Evan. Was the Giants, Leroy, if you say they were hot and the Devers trade kind of messed things up, I mean, who's to say that the Giants offense at that juncture was not fool's gold? I would have expected and accepted the Giants coming back to earth offensively without Devers. But when you added Devers, that's where I'm with you, Evan. Like, that was the Ferrari engine into the, like, it's go time. And Posey put on his helmet and tried to go, what's my guy in F1?
Oh, Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt. And we got malfunctions. And I need to know where the malfunctions stem from, Ev. That's the million-dollar question.
I mean, I thought that they were playing over their skis before they got Devers. And I don't think that they're this bad. Like, seriously, they have played like the worst or one of the worst teams in baseball for a little over a month now. I don't think that they're this awful. I also didn't think they were a team that was on pace to win 94-95 games. You know, they're a team that's going to be right there at the end. And that's what's troublesome about right now, is people feel like the season's just slipping away. But I have to imagine, with the amount of veterans and established players on this team, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they are going to figure this thing out. But let's go back to the phone lines at 888-957-9570. Chris is in Santa Clara. Chris, good morning. What's going on?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for taking the call. Listening to a lot of the Giants fans calling in on I think they're just not thinking about the practical reality for this Giants team. They have an exceptional chance to get that last spot. I mean, nobody's going to think the Dodgers aren't going to be one of the six at the end. Everybody knows the Mets and the Phillies are going to be in there. Looks like either the Cubs or the Brewers, probably both. The entire discussion should be about the Reds and the Cardinals and the Padres. That's the competition this year. And it's like everybody's got Dodgers in their heads, and they just are trying to compete with somebody they're not going to compete with. Let's have that discussion. You look at the September schedule. Every sports talk show in the Bay Area should be realizing there's going to be six games against the Rockies and six games against the Diamondbacks. That's 12 cupcake games in September, and the final three are against the Rockies at home. Then you got six against the Cardinals, so that's good, right? I mean, don't you want to fight against the team you're trying to get rid of? You got a chance to go up against them for the only six games of the year, right there at the very end. You got seven games against the Padres in August. If you can't take out the Padres, you don't deserve to be there at the end, right? So, well, I would think this is where the discussion needs to be, right? Because there's only one spot left. The other five, they're locked in. This is about who's going to get the last spot. And I'm just not hearing all the fans being passionate about it. Everybody should be talking every day about Cincinnati. They should be thrilled that the Dodgers kicked the Reds' butts yesterday.
But how can you be? I'm not cutting you off. I got to say this.
We lost.
How can you be thrilled when you drop game one to the lowly Pirates? And I get your passion. And then you get swept by the Marlins. You lose 2 or 3 to the White Sox. When does it stop? Can you understand why people are just sitting here like, what the hell is happening right before our eyes? After you get swept, it's the Mets. I'll give you that. I didn't like it. The Pirates come in and beat you game one at home. Like, when do you start scratching your head as to you can't do what you're saying, do what you're saying, because the Giants are not playing good ball, man?
Well, I'm not saying that they are, but the reality is that they're in it. You start thinking about half the country right now isn't even close to in it. Did the Pirates win yesterday? Yeah, they did. But if you look back over the series, the Giants are actually winning a lot of series 2 out of 3. Now, yeah, they get their butts kicked by the Mets, yes. Nobody realized that the Blue Jays are actually a hell of a good team. Okay, you play against Toronto, you mean you get your butts kicked, right? But those are good teams. The Giants are a competent team that can hope to snag the 6th spot, pack their bags, and go someplace and hope to catch fire and win 2 out of 3. That's what it's about. They are not in the top class of the top 5 teams in the National League, but that doesn't mean they're crap. They're not the Rockies. And even Pirates got a game yesterday. All right, so Pittsburgh got a game. Look at their freaking record. How did their fan base, what's their fan base going through? And everybody here is like, the expectations are, I just think they're just so completely insane, and everybody's got Dodgers in their brain. And instead, they should be tracking the heck out of the Cardinals and tracking the heck out the Reds. You get rid of the Cardinals and the Reds, and it brings it down to just Giants and Padres.
Thanks, Chris. Well,
Evan, help me out with that. Like, nobody's talking about the – go ahead.
Nobody wants to hear that the Giants are in the same class as the Cardinals, Reds. Like, that's not what they want to hear.
And you're 4 back of those teams. Because of bad baseball.
Oh, well, no, you're right there with the Cardinals and Reds.
Yeah.
But again, that's not what people want to hear. But I think what the caller's talking about is reality. Like, that's the group that they are in because they're a game above 500. What I think happened is the Giants and a lot of fans are holding them to the standard of their first 2 months. And again, I felt like they were playing over their skis. I don't think that they're this bad. But I don't think that they were a team that was – I did not expect them to be a game within the division after, what, 40, 50 games? You know, they were playing great baseball. And I think the reason why Posey went out and got someone like Devers is because he wasn't sure that they could keep that up, that offense that was winning a lot of close games was going to need a boost.
And what a boost that was that you got, especially with the prices you talked about.
And it hasn't worked the way you thought.
Yeah, and right now you are 4 games, Evan, if I'm correct, behind the San Diego Padres for that last spot. And this is why it's maddening to me is this is what was symbolic Farhan era without the bopper endeavors is they always did this to me. The math was always there, but they could never get hot and kind of sneak in. And now here you are, you make a move that shocks everybody. And Evan, every day that goes by, you're going one more game onto the total. You were just ahead of the Padres not too long ago. Now you're 4 back, playing your worst baseball of the season with no end in sight.
Well, not if you win tonight. You know, and that's the thing. It's like it's only as bad as your next starting pitcher. Mm. I mean, seriously. The Giants are playing awful, and they've been one of, if not the worst teams for a month. But I don't have a problem with you saying that, but I'm trying to figure out how they get out of it.
Yep.
I'm trying to figure out what they can do to correct
this. Whose job is that, E?
It's Melvin's.
You.
It falls on Bob Melvin. That's why, look, I know that Posey picked up his extension. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he's not managing this team next year.
Mm.
If this continues to go this way.
No, I'm with you. 2-10 in the last 12?
I don't think that a coaching change is out of the question. But I got to give him the benefit of the doubt that as someone who's won 3 Manager of the Year awards, that has managed multiple teams of the postseason, multiple franchises of the postseason, that he's going to help a mostly veteran-laden team figure it out.
Yeah, and to that caller's point, Evan, what I appreciate about what you just said is not because I wanted to hear it and I agree, is there are standards. And when you make a move like Devers and bring him to this team where they were at before the move, I'm sorry, that equals expectations. And expectations to me, are good things, because that means there's a symbol, is symbolic of success, and the Giants were a great story. You add Devers, damn it. I'm sorry. The expectations are not crazy. They never were. They just have played, nobody knows why, just bad baseball basically since they got him.
I think it's because the strength of their team is beginning to stutter. It's the pitching. And that's why, again, at the deadline, if I'm Posey, I'm trying to figure out, excuse me, if there's an arm that I can get that can help bolster this rotation. I mean, they had to go to Wisenhunt. And something, there was something Bob Melvin said before his start that actually kind of, again, it has me feeling some type of way about what they believe is in their farm system. Like, it was a throwaway line, and it didn't hit me until yesterday, and kind of in the middle of the game. But, like, I don't know how much faith this current regime has in the one that they essentially were handed. Their system, seriously. Like, the guys that we don't see, because this team cannot rely, in my opinion, on basically September call-ups to come and save the year.
And that's why it's on Buster. He's got off to a good start with the Devers trade, and we'll see if he tries to enhance this team by Thursday.
We'll see. Oh, Leroy in Oakland. We'll get to you on the other side, Leroy. Hang on through the break. I promise we'll get to you. 888-957-9570 is the number. Where are you at right now? Trade deadline's in a couple days. You want them to sell? You want them to rebuild? You want them to reset? Do you want them to try and go for it? Do you want them to stand pat? Where are you at right now with the San Francisco Giants? Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson. All that coming up on the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Hey. It still counts. Your home run still counts, Q.
So Steiny has fun because during the break, I randomly, and I mean it, and I want to know, what'd you have for dinner? But you, I asked Evan, you ever hit a home run? And
yes.
Your answer was?
Yes, I've hit a home run before.
Look at my
multiple
man.
Home runs before.
You said it kind of like Arthur Fonzarelli, like, how dare, of course I have.
Well, you know, we're self-deprecating, and we like to make fun of our low moments, or at least you and I do. Steiny doesn't, because he always has to be on top. But
shut
it doesn't
up,
mean that I didn't know what I was doing.
No, at the point, I got
you. Like, you know, I certainly had some shortcomings.
You were Ohtani. You did both.
I wasn't Ohtani, but yes. Well, I think most people play, if you know what you're doing, yeah. You played both ways in high school.
And I said I hit the home run, not in high school. Shout out to James Logan Colts. But softball, I was Sammy Sosa, as you know, at the company picnic last year.
That's what I'm saying. It still counts. You know, just because it happened in an exhibition or batting practice, that's why I would give you a chance to go deep in a big league park.
Man,
I'd give you a chance. I don't know if you could do it, but it's
I appreciate
a possibility.
That makes us tighter too.
Well, you know,
can we set that up?
You got to. Yeah,
that's on you.
You got Kontos on your podcast.
Kontos has no pull.
Hook it, please.
Yeah, Rizzo's got more juice than the rest of us.
Delbonte, hook it up.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson.
What are we doing, E?
Well, we are going to talk about some training camp stuff upcoming in just a little bit. There's also a piece of a pretty provocative sound that you wanted to get to later in the show. But I do want to clean up some phone calls while we got them, and let's go out to, one of our favorites, Leroy, who's out in Oakland, wants to get in on it. What's up, Lee?
Hey, what's up, Evan? What's up, Goo?
You got it?
Hey, Goo.
What's up, baby?
Hey, I heard you, Goo, and you know I always say, hey, Goo, Evan, we got history, man. And
we do.
You know, before the trade, you know, the Giants are rolling, you know, and I just kind of,
hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like to look at things from this way, where I'm looking at it and I'm going, even though we're winning, what do we need? Like, where do I see we're kind of lacking? And I kind of just didn't go, you know, I don't have a troll in my body.
No, I
didn't
get it.
See a bat, right? I didn't see Devers, right? I saw us needing a pitcher, right? And so when we brought him in, you know, when you have a want and it doesn't happen, you're like, man. And so when we brought him in, okay. All right, he's cool, but I just didn't think he fit chemistry-wise. You know, that's the other thing, Goo Evan. Chemistry-wise, it seems like you got two best friends in him and Adamus, and then it's like all the other players are like strangers toward one another. I mean, they get a hit or they get a home run, and it's kind of a half bump, and it's like everybody's out there kind of just playing for one another. You know what I mean? I mean, playing for themselves instead of playing for one another. And I just think it's a chemistry issue. They just look, you know, they're a boring team right now. You know what I mean? And I just think they need some kind of fire. I always wanted Framber Valdez, the left-hand pitcher from Houston.
Yeah.
I thought he would have made a difference. I don't mind us getting a bat. I even wanted, hey, if we was going to get a bat, take Josh Naylor, right, who the Mariners just got from Arizona. But yeah, I just thought he didn't fit chemistry-wise. But I'm hoping, you know, they pick it up and we get rolling. But, man, it's just looking bad right now.
Yeah, don't hang up the phone. Yeah, don't hang up the phone. We'll respond. But, Evan, I would just ask Leroy as he's listening, I mean, what culture did you have? You weren't making the playoffs. So I would ask you, this team that's been looking for a bopper, this watch Tatis, Freddie Freeman, Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and your boy, my new love right now, Tatis, come to town and show you what exciting baseball looks like with the stick. What is Leroy possibly talking about? He didn't fit what we do. Lee, we hadn't made the playoffs in forever. Since one of, like, I'm asking you, Evan, what could he possibly have thought that Devers wouldn't fit?
Well, I do also want to dig in, and if Leroy's still there, you know, where do you think that the chemistry issue, where do you see it the most kind of show up, at least when they haven't been playing well?
You know, I just thought that the Giants players were like, we were rolling.
Yeah.
Why bring this cat in? Like, you didn't have faith in what we were doing? Like you were saying, Goo, hey, how do we know that wasn't fool's gold? But, hey, I would have liked to see if it wasn't. And I was just like, you know, the players kind of just checked out, like, everybody's saying we need this bat. But, hey, we're rolling. We're hitting it. I think when they brought in Devers, I think the rest of the players were like, man, they didn't have any confidence in what we were doing and didn't have any confidence in us going forward as hitters, as a team. Now we got to bring in Devers. And I think, you know, it kind of hurt the guys, if you ask me.
Thanks, Leroy. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, I hear you. And obviously, the results would be on your side of the argument because they haven't been playing great baseball since Devers got here. I think they're 14-22. But
yeah, 13-22.
13-22. Yeah. You can't tell me, though, that adding a great player to a team should hurt it.
Jimmy Butler on line one. He changed the fortune of the regular season.
Well, he changed it for good. I mean, they were middling. They were below 500.
Gosh.
He absolutely sprung them.
So if we're given any credence,
but it's not as if Devers has kept them the same.
No, man.
It's like
they
people were
worse.
Expecting them for them to get better.
I was one of them.
They have gone in the opposite direction.
So I would just tell any Giant fan or ask him, Evan and Leroy, what are you saying about Buster Posey then? If it feels like you're saying he omitted something by going to get something that Leroy feels like the team didn't need, and now they're not performing because that kind of messed up the chemistry. Buster is in tune with the team, has played. Don't you think he covered his bases with that, knowing I don't have to – we're not that good. I need to go add this to what we already have. There's no questions needed to be asked.
Well, and again, Buster, I think, he's trying to do this as quickly as he can. That's why you're seeing free agent signings, you're seeing extensions, you're seeing trades. But I think he knows, and I got to give him the benefit of the doubt that he knows better than most, culture only takes you so far. And I know that the Giants championship teams were synonymous with chemistry, but they had a lot of talent on those teams. Buster Posey's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. Tim Lincecum is a two-time back-to-back Cy Young Award winner. Madison Bumgarner was a perennial Cy Young candidate. Matt Cain at his best, a Cy Young candidate. Like, they had a lot of talent on those teams, and they also had great chemistry and culture. So it's a combination of both that he's trying to recreate, but the first thing you got to do is find some talent. Like, and I think the last couple of seasons with guys that were you know, holdovers on this current roster showed you that, yes, maybe if everybody clicks at the same time, we can have a great 2021 season.
And it seemed like that was happening early
on. But the majority of the years are going to end up with you being disappointed.
Oh, man. Because that's how I feel right now for the Giants and the standard that I just have for them as a collective, what I'm seeing from them, the bonehead mistakes, and I know errors happen, but the base running, another ball dropped last night. It's like, man, Evan, what are we doing?
Oh, well, that was actually...
Evan, what? Well, I mean, come on. Like, that's becoming, a signature at a Giants. Like, that can't happen.
No, the Giants broadcasters are beginning to get frustrated. Okay, you can tell. It's starting to, do you hear Kite?
Yes,
The last time I heard him get that loud, he's who sees it? Who sees it?
I wish
Lee
we
comes
had
in,
it.
Ramos doesn't have it.
Dude.
You know, the last time I heard him raise his voice like that was last year when Luciano was fielding a ground ball. And remember, urgency.
Man,
you got to get that ball
that's a
out.
Four. You got him
that
down.
Was the last time that Kiper's voice rose that high. And of course, this comes on the heels of in Toronto, Dave Fleming's no on a line drive to Elliot Ramos.
Shut up.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dave. They're beginning to feel the frustration. I think the players are too.
There's no Evan every at bat. Here I go. I got to be careful. They feel like the Giant hitters are getting squeezed. You know, like you hear it. They're wearing it, and I love it. But Evan, I got to say something back to Melvin, or just managers and coaches, because we're going to bring up Sala here before we get out of here. But Evan, if I have an average player, do you think a good manager with his verbal game and his mental prowess, like a Phil Jackson, can make an average player a good player? Do you think that, like, are you saying, goo, there's no magic wand? I believe that, Evan.
An average player, a good player?
Yeah.
Well, I think he can
a mid player.
He can get players to play at
player.
Their. No. A good manager gets players to play, I would say, at their, whatever their career average is.
Yeah.
Like,
and sometimes maybe for a couple days or weeks, maybe you play above that and then you come back, but you never go past what you essentially are at the essence.
Exactly. And but that's the thing, is a lot of these players, specifically on offense, have underachieved. Like Rafael Devers is underachieving based on what he's done
Evan
in his career W-H-Y. At the plate. I don't know if I had the answers, I might be managing the Giants. I might not be here. But Willy Adames has underperformed. Yeah, he's starting to come out of it. He's
no doubt
he's
about
been
it.
Hitting
I gotta
the crap
give him
out of the
some
baseball.
Flowers, no doubt.
But overall, this year they were expecting more. Matt Chapman, meanwhile, has kind of been. This has been about the offensive player that he is, and he gives you great defense. But that's why I think again Posey identified a need and traded for it, because he's looking at all these guys and he's saying, even if we get Yaz to hit a little better, Flores to hit a little better, that's still not going to get us to where we want to go. We need someone with a legitimate elite bat. And as great as Adames was even last year in Milwaukee, that you can't just have one of those guys and be a successful offense.
Yeah, but you're supposedly, the guys you just mentioned, you're supposed to have three, Evan. You know, and then All-Star. Ramos was an All-Star last year, you know. And again, if you look at his numbers and you didn't watch the game, he's not your problem with the bat, but it's just like, man, every Giant player.
Ramos hit the ball well last night.
No, he did. Well, every Giant player's come up with an opportunity to do something in said game, and it just seems like, Evan, if they got three hits on the night and they come up on that fourth at bat and the game's on the line, they're going to go 3-for-4. There's nothing wrong with going 3-for-4, but it just seems like they got buzzard luck all the way around right now. Well, and now the rotation's doing what it's doing.
And I don't know how many reinforcements they legitimately have. You know, that's what Carson Wisenhunt was last night. He was a reinforcement. Carson Seymour was a reinforcement. And they were a reason why, they pitched well for being rookies and Wisenhunt his debut, but they were not good enough to help you win that baseball game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So Bob Melvin said this on Sunday. He said, we've been expecting Wisenhunt for some time now. We even thought it might happen last year. That tells me that this particular individual, and maybe it might be a reflection of their farm system, it's being overpromised. Like us expecting young guys to come up through the system and help this team from what's happening right now, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
If we're seeing young players, it's because this team is not going in the right direction.
No doubt. And I don't want to see them. And that's why I feel like I love what I deem Buster being aggressive, using the trades and free agency or whatnot, and we'll have another offseason. But before we get to this new offseason, Evan, you just feel like the Giants had a chip, a playoff chip to cash, and they had the best bullpen, and the rotation was filthy, and they were going to go back to 10, 12, and 14, timely hitting and defense. And all of a sudden, that's fallen off, and I don't think it's too far-fetched when nobody, you know, that I know has answers to put it at the helm of the coaches and just question what's going on. That's all.
Well, I think people are questioning what's going on, but it's not as if you can just, I mean, I guess you could fire the hitting coach and manager, but the question is, what does that really accomplish? For example, like the Texas Rangers made a move earlier this year. They replaced Donnie Ecker with Brett Boone as their hitting coach. I know they're winning games right now, but they're still a bottom 10 offense. Yeah. You know, how much is that really going to make the guys that are having to go to bat and swing it? All right, you want to move off of this?
Let's do it, man.
All right, let's get on to 49ers training camp. Yeah, call an audible for me. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. 49ers training camp. There was something that, and it's been apparent in training camp so far, but to me, it is as much about the players and the position battles as it is about the new voice, or I should say the familiar voice that's back for the Niners this year. And the more and more I hear from him, I've heard him twice now, at least at the podium. If the Niners are going to bounce back, if there's going to be a resurgence at Santa Clara, it's going to be because of Robert Saleh. He's the one guy that I feel like, yes, they lost all these players. Some were overpaid. Some viewed as cutting fat. But if, I mean, he was their biggest offseason acquisition. And the more and more I listen to him, I'm going to place him in a second here, I feel better about that thought.
No doubt. And I'll say this, Evan, shocker here to you all. I'm a guy that runs on emotion. And sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's good, but I never run from it. I just like emotion. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And when I think of what Robert Saleh did with, you know, his time here with the Niners, parlaying that into a head coaching job, he deserved that. But I just thinking of when you brought him up this morning, the camera panning over to him, and you would think he had a set of pads and a helmet, but he didn't. But I felt like all that emotion and all that work that they put in that week and how they prepared, he was the captain of that, Evan. That's back. I feel like Wilkes couldn't give him that. I felt like Sorensen couldn't give him that. And now you got that back. So what I just told you and everybody listening, Evan, I believe, you know, when the verbal game is on point, you can make guys and gals play above who they are naturally. I think Robert Saleh possesses that. So for you to say, you know, that's back, I think that bodes well. And I hadn't brought it up about, hey, what are we going to see from these youngsters and Williams, you know, the 11 pick in the draft from the Niners, how's he going to respond? But now he's got a dude, you know, there to fire him up, Evan, that's done it too in regard to getting his unit to the Super Bowl. So that's a good thing. I'm all in now on Robert Saleh.
Well, and he's got his work cut out for him. I mean, I don't know if he's had this many young players. I would have to go look at some of the Jets defenses that he coached. But the Jets also had a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And the Niners they're top heavy, right? Warner, Bosa, Lenore. They got some names on that side of the football. But every single time I'm listening to him, like I'm hearing about Mykael Williams, that Upton Stout.
Man.
About Alfred Collins, CJ West. There are a lot of dudes that he's going to have to figure out how to get the best out of. But in a way, you know, it's funny we're talking about coaches and managers and extracting. You were asking the question, can you get good out of average? Why do I feel like if there's anybody that can, it's going to be him?
I believe because this sound we're about to hear, for me, Evan, goes a long way. I was like, I'm digging that. I like to hear that, and I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, it's okay, so this is kind of the mindset that I'm talking about. This was from yesterday at the podium. Robert Saleh was asked a question about how you balance how much you throw at a guy. Like, you know, a quarterback, how much do you put on their plate of how much to do, the decisions to make, versus how much you just let them play. Mm-hmm. I thought this was a really interesting answer and story from Robert Saleh.
I always tell the story back in 2019. If you guys remember that, that defense was pretty damn good, and we had that Halloween game against Arizona on Thursday Night Football, and it was the first time we were playing Kyler Murray. And I feel like I personally, I'd take responsibility. I put an enormous amount of pressure on Fred in that game to make sure that we were in the right call. And I did not do him a disservice because he was thinking the whole game and not playing. And so the learning experience for me, it's not about the call. It's not being in the right call. It's about making sure that the players can go fast as heck. And you know, so Fred was kind of that trigger where they all have a breaking point. Doesn't matter. And Fred is, I mean, he's like a computer smart, you know, and it's but at the same time, they still got to be able to do it within 20 seconds of getting a call and being able to react and play fast. So you're always trying to learn your players, and you're always cognizant of what that ceiling is, because you never want to sacrifice their ability to play fast just for the sake of being a guru as a play caller.
Wow.
I think there's a lot there, and we're going to unpack it as we move towards the next segment too. But when you hear that, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I would love for that guy to be my instructor, or that guy to help me be better in my profession, whatever it was, Evan. If we were in Microsoft or just, you know, sport, I like that ideology. I just do. Because there's a human, like, he's not holding 100%. Evan to guru standards. I'm going to try to get the best out of Evan.
But I got to read each person for who they are. Like he's saying, Fred Warner's he's a computer. He's a machine. But even he has a cognitive ceiling. Like, even Fred Warner, who is one of the most cerebral, as well as physically dominant linebackers that we've seen in recent memory, even he, I got to figure out what I can put on his plate to get the most out of him and the rest of that defense.
Man. It's not just like robots, Evan. Some just everybody's the same. No, I love that. I'm feeling that.
And that's why, again, I think he's the perfect guy for the job, because there's so much new about this defense that if there's someone who's going to read it, like, you know, with all due respect to the previous defensive coordinators, going back, obviously, D'Amico Ryans, and he's a leader of men too, and he's gotten the most out of a young defense.
Shout out the Texans.
Exactly, in Houston. But having a guy like that back who's worked with talented veteran defenses, who worked with young defenses, and has had a consistent ability to get the most out of them. You know, again, I'm not saying the 49ers are going to be back to being a top three or five unit like they were the last time that he was working with them. But I do get the feeling that they're going to get the most out of that amount of talent on defense.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm thinking of real quick here before we go go to break, Evan. I'm thinking of Wilkes. I think he got a bad deal, but raw deal. But he also made some mistakes, but they played and performed well on the biggest stage in the Super Bowl. But the bottom line is, Evan, he was up in the suites, or he wanted to be until they brought him back down. Robert Saleh's a dude that we're going to see on the sideline.
Wilkes?
Yeah, Wilkes. I'm kind of like built for this. But, you know, I like that's just who he is, man. Hands on. I love it.
I mean, and again, there's also, look, he's got safety positions that are wide open.
No, that is that a good or bad thing, E?
It's not I don't know if it's
I'm
a good thing.
Right.
He's got a third corner position that's now wide open because Renardo Green got hit with a hamstring. He's supposed to be back before the beginning of the season, but right now, in terms of training camp, there's tryouts for that spot.
Gotcha.
And he likes someone like Upton Stout, but they're moving a lot of people, Trey Brown, a lot of people in. But he's also willing to tell you that position's wide open.
Yeah.
Because he knows it. There's no reason in lying about it. And he knows that he has his work cut out for him. That's also another level of honesty that I don't know we get from a ton of our coaches. You know, throughout the Bay Area, last night, what's wrong? Well, you know, Melvin says, you know, we were right there and I really felt like we were going to win. There's no honesty about how I don't feel like I know how he's feeling.
Now, E. Kerr said a couple years ago, we got about three spots open, and I hated it, but he was being honest.
He was being honest. So we actually got to talk about him later, too, because people are beginning to come down his road this offseason, and I can kind of get it. All right, coming up this afternoon at 4:30, the Valkyries take on the Atlanta Dream. You can hear the game on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX. Pregame starts at 4 o'clock. Brought to you all by the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. Your future begins here. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson. Back with you after this. That segment sponsored by carsforkids.org.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.